Welcome to the Godfathers of Podcasting. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who have been broadcasting online since 1996, the Godfathers of Podcasting themselves, Donnie DeSilva and Chris Tidwell.
Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, July 11th. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. And yes, like the woman said, we have been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. I'm Donnie, and that man next to me, he is the ink in my pen, the laces on my boot. He is the oil in my pan. He is Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell. What up, Tid? I missed you last week.
Man, with every shot you take, but I hear your aim is getting better, young man. That's a good thing. Go ahead.
How was your week off?
Yeah, well, it wasn't really a week off. As you know, it was, I was away from here. And just to let people in on a little secret, I was up for 36 hours. 10 of those hours were drive time, and there was a wrestling show in between. At my age,
you retired from wrestling to get out of all that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So, you know, explain that to me, but, it was a thing I did. It was great. I heard y'all had a fantastic show without me. It sounds like a win-win all around, right?
We did have a good show. I was lucky to be able to pull in a favor from a friend to come in and fill your very wide chair, although she didn't take up nearly as much room in it. And you decided to come on back again this week, Tid, so I didn't have to hog all the fun to myself. Now you can have a little bit too. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest co-host joining us for the second week in a row. She is a reality TV queen, a CrossFit icon, a fitness guru, and just a complete and utter badass from Big Brother 19 and Big Brother All-Stars. This is my pal, Christmas Abbott. What up, girl?
Hi, guys. Tid, I'm so happy you're back. I don't have to run the show as much anymore.
You see what I have to put up with all the time?
I do. I feel it for you. I feel it for you.
I am such an albatross on your shoulders.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was one of the birds. I was thinking more dodo.
Wow. Oh, he's coming in hot, fast.
Wow.
Wow.
All right, y'all. Man.
Happy to see you guys. To see you guys. And by the way, I hope you got to see the show last week, because we had my Big Brother all-time favorite, Josh Martinez on, and he crushed it.
He crushed
it. Got to see a softer side of Josh. Like the softer side of Sears, is that? Yeah. We got to see a softer side.
I heard it was like a reality TV show mayhem up in here last
week. Which is Tid's favorite topic, reality TV.
1,000%.
Maybe I should have one of those sleeping cams, like those people that watch you when you're asleep. Is that reality TV enough where people can just watch me in my sleep and see if I snore?
Oh my God. Do you miss Big Brother that much? Like, you want to set up your own live feeds?
Like, I think I mentioned this last time. It's kind of like Stockholm syndrome. You're like, I never do it again. And you're like, but I love you. Please take me back.
Mm-hmm. You're like, I could put a camera in every room in my house. That's fine.
But maybe like, okay. And then a couple other strangers coming in. It's okay. I can do it.
That's like, Tid, what was the name of that show? It came out in Canada around the time Big Brother debuted, and we knew a lot of people that were involved in it. It was like a Big Brother situation, except people were coming and going. I think you were on there. What was the name of that show?
It was called The Loft.
The Loft. Oh. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
And it was like a downtown Toronto loft apartment.
Yeah.
And it was like a group of people, and there was like literally just people coming and going all the time. And I don't know why, but it became compelling TV. And didn't you Didn't you show up on an episode or two?
Yeah. So the whole thing, it took place. It was, the loft was like down right in the entertainment district.
And yeah, because yeah,
I ran the door, at, you know, the,
like an original Jersey Shore.
At, kinda.
Yeah. Yeah. But in the entertainment district of Toronto, it was wild. And I ended up on there a couple of times. It's just, I don't even know what we were doing. I don't,
you don't need to remember.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
This well, was
I remember watching Real World, which is way before. And I remember, like, weirdly, talk about manifestation and, like, willing things into life. I remember being like, I would be so good on that show. I would love to be on that show. And then I met some Real World reality stars through the time. And that was way before Big Brother. So maybe, Chris or Ted, you still have a career in reality TV. Or just people watching you sleep.
Yeah, I do. It's called Cops. That's the reality TV show that you're going to see me on, I'm sure.
I'm here for it. I want to watch it. I want to see what they say. They're like, I don't have anything in my pocket. I don't have anything in my pocket. And they start pulling out these boxes and bags. And what are they called? The square cut, the square box.
The box cutters?
No, there's a certain fish in Florida.
Oh,
box cod or something. It's Colombian fish.
Uh huh.
Out these packages, and they're like, that's not mine. I don't know how I got there.
Oh, those fish.
Those fish.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm convinced. Okay. Side note here, I'm convinced that's why y'all got like the shark problem that you got in Florida as well.
Have you seen the movie Cocaine Bear?
Yeah. This is what I'm saying. Thank you.
We have cocaine shark.
Thank you. This is what I've been saying the entire time. Right? They're just hanging out on the shore closer and closer.
Yeah. Waiting for the box codfish. I know that's not the name of the fish, but anyway, it's a bad example of what I would expect to see you on that reality TV show for.
Yeah, those days are over.
Glad for it.
There
Glad
you go.
For it.
By the way, before we move further, you guys got me okay? Because my internet was just freezing up. Am I good right now?
Yeah.
Donnie, you're great. We just excluded you. I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It was actually perfect filler because I was frozen.
Tremendous. All right.
So all that being said, I'm going to pull behind the curtain for a minute and reveal to the audience what's actually happening here. So last week when I reached out to Christmas and I said, hey, I'd like you to be a guest on the show, like she always does. She's like, hell yeah. And then Tid told me, by the way, buddy, I forgot to tell you, I'm not going to be around this week. And I said, oh, hey, Christmas, change of plans. Instead of being a guest, do you want to be the co-host? And she's like, hell yeah, I do. So then we went and she decided she was going to find a guest for us to interview. That's how Josh Martinez ended up on the show. But she also contacted the person who's coming up next. And she said, hey, if my buddy is going to be on the show next week, I want to come on back. So you know what? We are never, ever going to say no to having Christmas Abbott on this program. And when she says that she wants to bring someone on, she can bring someone on. So ladies and gentlemen, it is time right now for the big hello. And this week's guest is a little bit different than the ones we normally have on the show. He's not a rock star or an actor or a professional athlete, but he does work directly with a lot of those people. He's a spiritual coach. He's an advisor. He's a mentor to some of the biggest celebrities in the world, as well as powerful influencers, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and more. He's developed a reputation as a dynamic force in spiritual coaching and has a range of cross-functional core competencies from business operations to senior leadership, pastoral guidance, life coaching, and education. He's founded two nonprofit organizations, the Cincinnati Dream Center and the Cincinnati Dream Works. I, for one, am curious to learn more about spiritual coaching, because man, I don't have a clue, but it sounds like something I need. In addition to all of that, he's a husband and proud father. And like I alluded to a moment ago, if you're friends with Christmas Eve, you're instantly good in our books. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare to have your souls lifted and your minds enlightened. Give it up for Brian Hall.
Thank you for having me. Love you, Christmas, Donnie. Chris, it is an honor and a pleasure to meet you.
It's always weird to me when anyone calls him Chris. It's always weird. Like he's just Tid. It's always weird to me.
Yeah, it's usually just, well, that's because you've known me long enough.
Yeah. I mean,
how weird would it be if you were just like to just instantly throw in, oh, this is the nickname. You know what I mean?
Well, I know.
Brian, do you have a nickname? What do your friends call you?
Well, a lot of them call me B. Isn't that weird? They just say B. What up, B?
Right?
I'm sticking with B for the rest of tonight.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, and I mean, when Tid and I are cuddling, he's weird if I call him Chris. He thinks it's too personal. So we have no direct eye contact and no calling each other by our real first names. It's an understanding.
But he knows who's who.
I know who's in charge. Hey, Brian, thanks for joining us. And you're probably wondering, what the hell did I get myself into? But this is our stupid world. So listen, let's just start right at the beginning, man. And walk me through like I'm 3 years old, because right now I feel like I'm 3 years old. Explain to me in as simple terms as you can the role of a celebrity spiritual coach.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting because my story is absolutely crazy. And I think, you know, when you guys think of a pastor or you think of a church, I mean, that's what I did for 23 years. And so I've been a pastor for 23 years. I've started the churches. I've started the mega churches. I've started the nonprofits. And it was awesome. It was great. And God called me to, and I know we'll get into the story, but he called me into, I had a crazy dream one night, woke me up in the middle of the night. I thought it was the devil, could not be God. And he wanted me to be a spiritual coach and an advisor, a pastor and a mentor to celebrities, influencers, entrepreneurs, and CEOs. And literally people ask me all the time, they're like, well, what is a spiritual coach? You know, because it's great marketing, because I've had great marketing, because when people reach out, they're like, are you a Jew? Are you Muslim? Are you Christian? Are you, what are you? Are you atheist? Because atheist is a doctor, is a denomination now, which is interesting. And so you have all of, and so for me, I was like a spiritual coach. It's Christianity. And so it's literally what I was doing as a pastor of a church for lots and lots of people. Now God was narrowing down this niche to influencers, to CEOs. And I found out later in life why. And so it's been pretty crazy.
Here's my first question.
Do you get coming laid? Right off your reality show props.
No, no. Come on. No, my first question is you just said that you wanted to find out why later on. So like, how are you the first spiritual coach that you know of, or what is there, like, is there a convention? Like, is there other spiritual coaches? You know, do you guys have meetings? Like what is it that, you know, I'm not quite getting what makes you go down that path. We can get into how you ended up with the celebrity aspect of it, but yeah. how just do you wake up one morning and go, I need to be a spiritual coach? And
yeah, first I'd like, we weren't to kidding. We know nothing about this. We weren't kidding.
Well, let's go back. How about we go way back?
100%.
Were
you raised in the church?
I was raised in the church. So I was raised Southern Baptist, like Bible Belt, Southern Baptist, like the crazy Southern Baptist. Right.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Okay. And so I was made to go to church. Like my dad was a deacon. His dad was a deacon. Everybody's his dad, you know, just on and on. And so I was made to go like 4 days a week. And so I knew Jesus, but didn't know Jesus, if that makes sense. It's like I knew the like Bible, you know, I was always learning, but I didn't have a relationship with him. I didn't want a relationship with him because I looked at God like most people do on the planet as a dictator, literally waiting to smack me with a ruler when I messed up, or if I really, really sinned, I was going to hell. And that's how I looked at God. And I think a lot of people look at God that way. And for me now, I don't look at God that way. I look at him as a loving father that just wants a relationship with me. And so for me, yes, raised in the church, I ran from God as soon as I could. I just got out and I was a hellion. I tell people, you know, I was a middle child, and middle children are pretty crazy, but I was actually a left-handed middle child. So I was like double the crazy. And so I went down a crazy road, guys. Like, I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic, a sex addict. You asked if I ever got laid. Yes, I was a sex addict. So, you know, I lost everything in bankruptcy, had mouth cancer, had a heart attack, OD'd on drugs, had a heart attack. I was completely rock bottom, lost everything in my life. I was laying in my family's open field 25 years ago, and I had just snorted 23 lines of coke, and I was laying there looking up at the sky, and I was literally, I just said, God, if you're for real, I need you to intervene and step into my life right now, or I'm done. I've lost everything. I've pushed away my family, and I'm going to kill myself. This is it. I can't go any further. And I don't know where this came from, but I just prayed this bold, audacious prayer. I just said, God, use me. If you're going to use me, and use me to change the world, enhance your kingdom, and glorify you. And I will give everything over to you from this point forward. 3 weeks later, just tell me when to shut up, because I got a long story. So
shut up.
Yeah. So completely rock bottom. I found that, guys, and I don't know if you'll understand this, but I found that you don't know that God is all you got until God is all you have. And literally, I was in a place at rock bottom that God was all I had left. And so after I prayed that prayer, I have never touched another drug since that day. And 3 weeks later, I meet my amazing seminary degree, smoking hot, supermodel, virgin wife. I mean, virgin, are you kidding me? I didn't even know there were virgins still around. She was a virgin. So it was this, you too, Donnie. That's great. The 40-year-old virgin. That's awesome.
You think I'm only 40? I love you. That's sweet.
So literally puts this woman in my life. And I looked at it as like, God, I've learned today that this is actually the picture of what Jesus did, right? We're all dirty. I'm dirty. You're dirty. We're all crazy. We've all messed up. We all are sinners. We've all done crazy stuff in our lives. And then God sent his son to die for us, something pure and perfect, so we could have forgiveness, so we could have eternal life and access to God. And so I was like looking at my wife like, oh my gosh, you just sent something so pure and perfect to me. And 3 weeks later, I'm at a pool party meeting my future wife. And she looks at me and says, I'm going to marry a pastor. And I absolutely was rolling hysterically. If you guys would have known my past life. And I said, that's not me. That is definitely not me. And fast forward a little bit, she got hired on at a 15,000 plus member church coming out of seminary here in Kentucky. And that's why I have this Kentucky accent, by the way. And so born and raised in Kentucky. And so she gets hired on at this church. Well, in the church world, guys, when you work at a church, it's the way it's supposed to look is you always hire both. So like if I was to hire you, Donnie, I would be hiring your wife as well. That's just how the church world works. Crazy.
Don't curse me with a wife. Hey, I like you. I don't want to get remarried.
Don't put that curse on me.
Nah, but, dude.
But so the pastor comes to me and he says, I'm hiring Tracy. And so I'm going to bring you in. And so I come in as a middle school pastor. He hires me on the spot, a middle school pastor. And I'm thinking to myself, if these parents find out that I, something so dirty, are teaching their middle school kids, they are going to run from this church. Like, there's going to be craziness. And so, brother, I can tell you guys, like, I literally, my wife had to write my sermons, my messages. She had to even write my prayers. I had never prayed out loud. I mean, she wrote everything. And I remember getting up there and there were 20 boys in the room. And I was just shaking and I was so scared. And then I just started speaking. And next thing I know, like, God starts moving. Transformation starts happening. Kids are crying. Like, three kids got saved that night. This is the first time I've ever walked in a church and done something like this. And then next thing I know, 3 months later, I'm looking around and there's 200 boys in the room. People are walking out of the main service and coming into the middle school room. And I'm like, maybe this is my calling. Maybe this is what God wants me to do. I get promoted to the high school. I get promoted to the college. I get promoted as the associate pastor, the executive pastor, then the senior pastor. Then I start planting churches all over the South. Then God tells me, I want you to start the Cincinnati Dream Center, which is a picture of the LA Dream Center, which is one of the biggest nonprofits in the country. I started the Cincinnati. Go.
You're telling me that God said specifically, I need you to start the Cincinnati Dream Center. He used those words.
So let me rephrase. No, I love that. I love that. Thank you for calling me out. So as I'm built planting churches,
okay,
I had the CEO and founder of the Dream Center of LA, he would come into our churches and speak. Okay. And so I felt in my spirit at this time, and we'll talk more about God speaking later, but at this time, I felt in my spirit God leading me to start a Dream Center in Cincinnati. And because the Dream Center was so powerful, what it was doing in LA, and now there's 300 Dream Centers all over the world, it's 24/7 outreach. And so you're reaching homeless and drug addicts and human trafficking victims, and it's 24/7 ministry, and it runs off of active volunteers. And so I started the Cincinnati Dream Center by literally going to Lower Price Hill in the ghetto. Everybody was black. I was the only white guy. And I walked down there with a case of water, and these dudes were playing basketball. And I walked up and I said, "You guys thirsty?" And they looked at me like, "We're going to kill you. Why are you here?" And I just said, "Listen, you guys look thirsty. I just wanted to give you some water." And so I literally, guys, I would go back weekly and I would just take a case of water. And then I ended up taking a grill and I started grilling out burgers and hot dogs. Well, like months go by and it turns into like this massive festival at this park, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people. Well, then it comes into being the Cincinnati Dream Center, the nonprofit that we created, and it ended up blowing up to where we were in 26 locations. We were all over greater Cincinnati. Lives were being changed. We were serving tens of thousands of people on a daily basis. And it was just, so for me, it was, I knew, and again, we can get into, you know, how you hear God's voice and obviously and feel it in your spirit when God gives me a yes or a no. But at this moment in my life, I knew without a doubt that God wanted me to do this. Did he show up in bed and drink a cup of coffee with me and say, do it? No, but I knew.
No, that was the Mormons.
We're gonna kick Donnie out.
This is gonna get good. We're gonna kick Donnie out. That wasn't me. That was Tid's stupid joke. I'm just playing over.
Okay.
So let me ask you this. First of all, it's a fascinating story. And I'll say, look, if you're gonna bring me water while I'm playing ball and feed me, I'll probably follow you too. But
says the guy that's 6'7", by the way.
Yeah.
He needs two waters.
I would take two waters because I sweat a lot when I'm playing.
You're 6'7"?
Yeah, it's fine. Tid's a big boy too.
I would never guess that you're 6'7" by looking at you on this.
Yeah, I got very short legs. Yeah, it's all here.
It's all torso.
All torso and head. My head.
I thought you were a midget, but I guess you're okay. You're 6'7". You're okay.
I don't think that's politically correct. I don't think you're allowed to say that, Pastor Brian.
You can't say that as a pastor.
We're canceled right now.
Now, let me ask you this. You're setting up this Dream Center. You're doing your thing. You're spreading your wings. Is this still following under the Baptist faith, or is this now something new?
So, yeah, good question. So people ask me this too. So I was born and raised a Baptist. I will say that I love the deep theology, the deep teaching of Baptist preachers. Now, I cannot stand the rules, the regulations, and the way that they run stuff. Now, I would definitely even some of the people that speak into my life, I love how deep they are into the scriptures, just because that's where I'm at spiritually right now. Now, my wife, on the other hand, went to Lee University. And so that is the most charismatic Pentecostal school that you could ever go to. So now I'm Baptist. My wife is Pentecostal, like running around, speaking in tongues, going crazy. Okay. And I was taught that like you were the devil if you did that. Like those people were devilish. And so stay away from them. And so then I meet my wife and I go to a Pentecostal church, and people are screaming and running around the church, and her sisters and everybody's running, and I'm flipping freaking out. I'm like, what? Like, they're shaking on the ground. And I'm like, what is happening here? Well, then me and my wife, after, and we can get deep into that, after my wife and myself started our church, it was a non-denominational church. So today I call myself a non-denominational Babticostal. How about that?
God bless you.
Did you get heat from the other congregations trying to open up a non-denominational church?
No. I think that's, even if I started another church, which I never will, because I don't need to, and I'm not being called to, unless God shows up and tells me to, but I would never start another church. But if I did, it would be a non-denominational church, just because
So then why do you think that they do still have denominations?
I think it's deep. I think it's rooted. I think it's deep. I mean, you're talking hundreds and hundreds of years of just religion. I mean, a lot of these, even these denominations, which are hundreds and hundreds of denominations, like even the Pentecostal church, like it was like one or two scriptures. And so they split. Uh-huh. And then you're like, you have the Southern Baptist, and then you have regular independent Baptist. And so it's mm-hmm. just by like a few scriptures of how they look at scripture. And then they just split to different denominations. I was so sick of the rules and regulations. I felt like for me, and this is a bold statement, and this gate may get me canceled, but I felt like the church, as much as we were helping people and I believe sending people to heaven, I think we were doing the opposite and sending people to hell.
I agree with you. I have to tell you, I'm going to jump in real fast. Like, I'm
please do.
I grew up Southern Baptist, and same thing. Listen, the blanket statement of Southern Baptist is you're going to hell no matter what, and you have to climb out of the depths of hell to be angelic in order to be considered for heaven. And it was so, and I grew up, this is my roots, and this is, I think, why Brian and I connect so deeply on a lot of different reasons. But I grew up where Jerry Falwell rooted and made his university, Liberty University. Now, I'm going to say Liberty University is an amazing school. However, growing up under the thumb of such a powerful, conservative, and contradicting televangelist, it gave me, and growing up super Southern Baptist, super conservative. I mean, you guys know me. My first show here, I got naked.
She did. She got naked.
Times, right? But I mean, and I just never felt like I was ever accepted in my, I didn't know who I was, but I just knew that whenever I figured it out, I wouldn't be accepted. So I ran from the church on, hold on, baby, 3 minutes.
Bye, Mama. Can I help you?
No, sir, not yet.
Hi, loyal.
I ran from the church. Let me turn my light back on. I ran from the church because I knew that they, no matter what would happen, I would never be accepted, even if I was doing all the checklist. So what he's talking about, I catapulted so severely to the other side that I was like, God's never going to accept me. So I'm going to make him not accept me. Watch what I can do. And I did it right. Okay. I did a lot of like what Brian did. We have a very similar background of like, I ran hard and I ran heavy and I just went against it. I was like, I'm going to prove you right. And so I've since gotten back on track, but it was through a series of a lot of unfortunate lessons that because of the culture and the community of that I was living in and was exposed to, I didn't understand that God, love is the ultimate. Love is it. And that's what we can talk about the scripture that you had today. Let me close this door. But I ran hard too, because, and what he was saying is like, we sent a lot of people the other way. I also believe that God looks at what your intention in your heart was and what your circumstances, nurture versus nature. That's also something that's considered. And I just felt very much so that people run from religion, understand spirituality, but ultimately God and themselves because of the severity of the punishment and the severity of the community's punishment towards them.
You see, and that's one of the things that for me, having been raised Roman Catholic, I felt that one of my biggest issues with the church was that a lot of Catholicism revolved around guilt and fear.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And when I used to hear the term, and people would use it in a positive sense, a God-fearing person, I said, that sounds awful. Like, the term God-fearing sounds awful. Mm-hmm. Like, if you told me you were God-loving, then okay, I can rock with you. But God-fearing, to me, it's like, or what? He's going to smite you? Like, what's going on? What are we doing? I had trouble connecting with that. And I'll talk a little bit about something that happened to me personally, but just for context, because everyone's throwing out their stuff. Tid, I'm pretty sure, even though you and I don't have a lot of theological conversations, I'm pretty sure you're just a straight up atheist, right?
As of now?
Yeah. But you were raised that way.
No. So very quick background. Sure. 4 years old, I was a member of a traveling evangelical ministry in the state of California that went all over the place that is still going today. You know, the set up the tent revival, go tug on people's shirts, you know, blonde hair down to the crack of my ass, a little white leather Bible, Mickey Mouse shirt, some, you know, tall ass moccasins and Levi 501s. Like, I was that little hippie kid in the 70s, right? Fast forward to my teenage years, and I come from a home where my single parent, I wanted to be into Boy Scouts, right? The church, the Mormon church, offered free Boy Scouts. I got baptized in the Mormon church just to be in the Boy Scouts. Also just going to church throughout. Like, we never had a set denomination, but we moved around a lot. So we went to a lot of different churches, no matter what town we were in. That was how my mom not that we were religious, but she believed that you needed to go to church. So I can remember going to a lot of Sunday services. I can still, to this day, I think that, you know, Chick Tracts are some of the greatest little tiny publications in the face of the earth, because they make me laugh so much. You know what I mean? I think they're great. You got Donnie, do you know what they are? Chick Tracts? It's because of a guy named Jack Chick. Mm-hmm. Right, they're those black and white cartoon, just like you all talk about damnation, you're going to hell if you do this. And there were these little cartoon books, and they used to always be handed out in the States. And I was like, this is hilarious to me. Like, it just didn't resonate that I needed to fear it, because I saw life in a different way, because we were always moving around. We were a gypsy family, you know what I mean? Up until I was about 15 years old, and I left then to do it out on my own. Right. So religion really never was a thing. Spirituality, I get it. I get all of that. And I believe that people need that in their life more so than a place that says you have to be here on this day. You have to do your fast and testimony Sunday once a month. You have to do your tithings. You have, you know, that formula was never really for me.
So that's an interesting place to jump off of, Brian. What would you say to someone like Tid? And I've certainly been in that place throughout the course of my adult life, where it's like, look, I can have my beliefs and I can have my feelings and I can have whatever relationship I have with the Creator, but I don't feel like I necessarily have to attend a service. I don't feel like it. Like, there's a lot of people out there that they go to church for weddings and funerals, and that's about it, right? So if you were trying to influence us in some way, to open up our hearts and our minds, like, you can't really give us a sales pitch on the spot. But I mean, what do you say to people that are a little bit more cynical with their relationship?
I would say, Chris, I'm sorry. I would say that I'm sorry that you had to go through what you went through and had to deal with religious people that, like we talked about before, are hurting people. Just like, as much as the church thinks that they're helping people, they're hurting people. And the church that you're talking about, is they looked at God like a dictator. And the same with Catholicism. Catholicism, there's rules, regulations. You know, a lot of the people that come to me were practicing Catholics, And so, you know, I would say, you know, I was down in Malibu a few months ago, and I was on the boardwalk, and, you know, I saw this guy with a blowhorn and his big sign that said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near," and telling homosexuals they were going to hell and all this screaming and just going crazy. I'm sorry for that, because that's not who Jesus is. And I hate to, I hate to say it, but here's the thing, guys, is like if you could erase everything that you had to go through, that you went through, and say, you know what, I'm going to listen to Brian today and give this another shot, but actually do it in a way that is about a relationship with a father. So Jesus, all he wants is a relationship. That's it, period. He doesn't want, it's not about the church. Listen, guys, I've read the Bible from front to back 1,000 times, and there is nothing in the Bible that says go to a church. Okay? The church is people. We are the church. That's literally what it means. We are the church. And so for anybody to say, you got to go to a building and go to church and have all blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't have a problem with church, because it is a community, and you get around other believers and you know, do your thing. That's fine. But going to church isn't going to get you into heaven. Giving your money to the church isn't going to get you into heaven. Good works isn't even going to get you into heaven. Jesus says, I just want a relationship with you. Can you pursue me like you pursue your wife? Can you pursue me like you pursue your kids? Can you pursue me? That's all I want, because I'm pursuing you and I want a relationship with you. And if you'll pursue me, I will bless you. I will show you so much favor like you've never seen before. I'll blow your flipping mind. It's not about the rules and the regulations. It's about a relationship with a father that loves us so daggone much. And the thing is like, I look at it and I'm like, my heart hurts when you tell me that. My heart hurts that other believers would take you down a road thinking that's the God that we serve. Because that's not the God that we serve. The God we serve is a God that gives us grace. Literally, the whole message of the gospel is, here's the gospel in 15 seconds. Jesus left his place. Jesus came to our place so we could go back with Jesus to his place. That's what Jesus did. He came to our place. He took our place so we could go back with Jesus to his place. That's the gospel. So the gospel is grace. And grace, the definition of grace is undeserved favor, unmerited favor. None of us deserve it. We're all dirty. We're all sinful. I don't care if you've killed someone or if you've stole a piece of gum from your mom. We are all sinners the day we come out of the womb. And the thing is God gives us grace. And all these religions want to judge you for it. But God is saying, I have given you grace, undeserved favor to wash all that away from you. And he says, I'll take it as far as from the east is to the west. That's a relationship. Brian, go ahead, Donnie.
Let me jump in on you. Because you said something, you alluded to something that, again, is one of the things that really sticks in my craw. I think that's a Southern thing, right? Sticks in my craw. Yeah. I think that's a Southern thing.
You say y'all. You craw? Say y'all.
Craw. No?
Is that, he's not Canadian, a thing? Brian. Don't let him get away with this.
Is that not a thing? I think that's a thing.
My favorite part is the more that he draws it out, the more ridiculous and offensive it becomes. So please continue, Donnie.
continue there.
Fine. One of the things that pisses me off is when I see people using, whether it's, you know, Christians, whether it's a Baptist, whether it's a Roman Catholic, whoever it is, they use the Bible as a shield to defend lousy behavior.
Yeah.
We just ended the month of June, and I cannot tell you how many protests I saw here in the city of Toronto, which by all accounts is a total mosaic of cultures and sexuality and everything. Pride Month in Toronto is not just a parade on a Sunday. It is everywhere. And you could argue that it feels that way 12 months out of the year, because the city is very welcoming in that way to people of all creeds, cultures, backgrounds, orientations, whatever. And I cannot tell you how many protests I saw and how many people I saw holding up signs at the Pride Parade. I'm watching it on the news. These people holding up signs, you're all going to burn in hell. God doesn't, you know, God doesn't believe in you, you know. And man, when I see that, I just, you know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen, it's a really stupid movie, but there's a movie by the guy who makes a lot of pothead stoner movies, Kevin Smith. He made a movie back in, I think it was like 99, called Dogma. If you've never seen it, it's a fun watch. But the whole thing is about, the concept of the film is this woman who's lost faith in the church. She's lost faith in God. She was raised Catholic. And she just decides she doesn't want to go to church anymore. And then an angel literally comes to her from heaven and says, look, I know that you've lost your faith in God, but I hate to tell you this, you've got a holy quest to go on. You are the last descendant of Christ. And right now, there are a couple of demons who have escaped from hell, and they're trying to enter this church in New Jersey. And if they do it, they are going to receive forgiveness, you know, because they were kicked out of the kingdom of heaven by God centuries ago, and they're trying to undo God's will, which will really just unmake the universe. You have to travel to New Jersey and stop these people from crossing the threshold and entering the church and being forgiven. And the whole thing is crazy. And one of the people that she actually comes in contact with on her quest is Chris Rock, who plays the part of Rufus, the black disciple that says he was omitted from the Bible. But he has a great line that I've never forgotten. And he says, you know, God still digs humanity, but it bothers him to see how many things are carried out in his name. And he talks about wars and bigotry and televangelism. And he says the factioning of religions, you know, humanity took a good idea and ruined it by building a belief structure. And he said, it's more important to have an idea than a belief. And I thought, man, that's an interesting concept. And it's a stupid stoner movie, but the messaging behind it really hit for me, you know, and it was fascinating. I know I just threw a lot at you, but essentially the concept of people using the Bible as a shield and looking at it like this from start to finish is fundamental truth. And it is, you cannot debate anything that's in the book. Like, how do you respond to that, man?
Well, I would say, let's go back to Everett, because this could sum it all up. So let's go back to grace. Okay. I just seriously, just follow me here. So if we were living back in the Old Testament, there's four of us. I'm sorry. By the way,
you're from Kentucky. I get it.
There's five of us. Southern. All right. Yeah. So in the Old Testament, every one of us, if we were still living back in that day and followed the rhythm, we would all have to go find a ram or a lamb, something spotless or pure every year, and bring it to the high priest at the temple and have it sacrificed. And then, you know, we would be good for a year. We could go sin and do all the crazy things that we were going to do. Cause that, you know, but here's the thing. Then God's like, I'm going to send my own son. He's going to come. He's going to pay the ultimate price. And then you're not going to be sacrificing anything anymore. He's going to pay the ultimate sacrifice. And so he goes to the cross. You guys know the story. He goes to the cross, resurrects on the third day. And you know, he leaves us his Holy Spirit, God, Father, Holy Spirit, three in one. So now what he's telling us, Donnie, Chris, Christmas, is I have left you grace. So I have given you grace. Now, the question that you said, Donnie, this is where it hits. Mm-hmm. So when we have grace and we literally understand what Jesus actually did for us, I don't want to go out and live a crazy life. I don't want to go out and hurt people. I don't want to go out and do those things because I've understood what the Father did for me. I should be in jail. I should be dead. but he redeemed me. He saved me and he forgave me from all of that. And I have billionaires tell me, they're like, this is the number one question from billionaires. You know, Brian, I've made a lot of money and I've never made a lot of money by believing something that's too good to be true. That's what they say to me. And what I come back to them and I'll say to them is, listen, that's what blows people's mind about Christianity, about faith, because it takes faith. It takes like doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas walked with Jesus. And then when he resurrected, Thomas was looking straight at him and still didn't flip and believe. He was like, I got to touch you. And so some of us today were like, man, Jesus, if you're real, would you just show up in my crib? Because I need to touch you, like doubting Thomas. And the thing is it takes faith. It takes faith to believe and coming to Christ in faith. But the thing is when you realize grace and you understand how powerful grace is and how undeserving it is, and you look at the Father for what he did for each and every one of us, you want to live right. You want to live. And you said something about like protesters. Dude, protesters drive me absolutely crazy. And this may get me canceled as well, but who cares? I'm not worried about anything.
I've been canceled more than anybody else on this show. It's cool.
My
name's Christmas.
Is anyone can speak, but you have to earn the right to be heard. Anyone can speak, but you have to earn the right to be heard. And so you go out there and you protest, and that's your right. God bless you. Do what you got to do. But you, and I don't even go, and this is why a lot of the people that I work with, I don't go to them and be like, let me tell you about Jesus here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 42. That's not what I do. Because anybody can speak, but you have to earn the right to be heard. And so those people that are protesting, I don't give a crap what you're protesting or what you're saying. You haven't earned the right to speak into my life. You have to earn it. And so the thing is it's the same way with the gospel. It's the same way with the word of God. And so for me, how do I earn it? How do I earn the right to speak in Chris and Donnie and Christmas's life? It starts by your story. You tell your story. That's how you earn the right. You communicate, you talk to people. I don't go and talk to people about the Bible, just like we would be doing right here, just straight up. No, I get on a call with them. I'll meet with them in person. And then I tell them my story, because I believe your story is the bridge to another person's heart that I believe Jesus can walk across and save. And that's my ultimate goal. I want people to have that relationship with the Father because I know what it's done for me. It saved my life. It transformed my life. It brought me from the pit of hell, complete brokenness, and it transformed my life, man.
Christmas Joy, you want to jump in, don't you? Like, you've been silent, so I want to give you the floor as well.
Well, I want to touch on the protesters because that really, it hurts my heart, because ultimately, and this is from my experience, what I love, Brian, he's doing a great job, just really kind of expanding on people's conventional idea of what religion is, but they've compartmentalized spirituality into religion. And I think that those are two different things. And I had a really bad experience with religion, which it seems like by Ted and you both did as well. And even Brian. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger question of what you're asking is like, if they're doing it in God's name, why is it so hateful?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, why do we disown this sliver or this portion or this cut of humanity, of humans, because of XYZ? I don't want to get into why or whatever those reasons are, but it's because for me and my experience, or from what I understand of God, is that they have not understood one grace to the love of God in the purest, truest form of what it is meant to be. And when you kind of put your defenses down and surrender, like, I'm not in charge of my life. I keep trying to drive and then I steer myself off the road. Like, let me, we can be all here all night about all the stories of me thinking that I had control of my life and God's going, that's not it. And he will destroy what you have made for yourself if it is not his plan. And when I say that, it's like, you know, Donnie, we talk on a regular basis. You know, things keep blowing up in my face because I think I have the illusion of control of what's going on in my life when it's not my purpose, because I'm not living. That's not going to give me, those decisions in my life are not going to put me in the path that I have the biggest impact to help people understand true unconditional love of God. And when you see these protesters, we had like last week, I was in a church that I love going to here locally in Clearwater and Dunedin. The pastor had never had experience with protesters before, and he was teary eyed. And I was like, this is what, you know, I've spoken out about a lot of groups for a long time, but he had never been head on with that type of hate. And he was so emotional about it because he just couldn't fathom it. When you live in love and you, I remember Brian and I, we were having a conversation. I was coming across the bridge and it was so profound to me. He was like, I don't want to just know Jesus. I want to live like Jesus lived, in the sense of I give unconditional grace. I hold people accountable, but I'm not the judge and jury, by the way. I am going to have healthy boundaries, but I'm going to lead with love. I'm going to live in love. And I'm going to have as much and give as much as I possibly can. And for me, I just think that those protesters, they're missing the picture.
And it's quick sidebar I want to share is many years ago, this is going back to the time when Tid and I first started getting to know each other. So like 60, 70 years ago, there was the Pride Parade was happening in Toronto. And I always consider myself to be a supporter, despite being a hetero man, because I believe that all people should be treated with respect and dignity. I don't really care who you are or what it is you're doing in your life. That's just my personal belief. And I remember running into this woman, and she was just chastising everyone. She was a woman in her 40s or 50s. She was chastising everyone. Like, oh, you're all going to go to hell. You're all. And I'm like, and I literally just stood up and I said, just leave them alone. Oh, you're one of them too. And she drops the F word on me. The one that's a slur for gay people. She drops that on me. And I said, listen, you don't know who I am. You don't know what my deal is. I'm just saying, treat people with respect. And she's like, you need to read your Bible. And you know what? You could come with me on Sunday and I'll teach you a thing or two. And I said, this is what I said to her. I said, I have read your Bible. And I know that in the Bible, it says that no woman shall ever teach a man anything. And oh boy, she had no response. She had
no power.
And I said, don't come at me like I haven't read the Bible, honey. Like I've read it front to back too, because I had to. And the other thing I want to share is, Brian, you're reminding me a lot. This is the first time in God knows how, like the last time I had a conversation like this, I was in high school. When I was a part of my school student government, I used to run a lot of these fundraising type events. And one of the events we ran, it was called a wake-a-thon. What a stupid thing we did. It was like we had to stay awake for 36 hours straight, a bunch of high school kids in a school on a weekend. I mean, really, it was just, it was. Yeah, there was no Red Bull. This was just an excuse to hang out.
Yeah,
this was an excuse to hang out with the girl you had a crush on nonstop for 36 hours. And you know, oh, yeah, we're raising money for Somalia as well. But, you know, it was kind of just a goofy thing. One of the things that, because I was at a Catholic school, one of the things they required as part of the event, so it's not just a party, was we had to have a liturgy. And I said, okay, well, how about we compromise and we do a para-liturgy? So like I'll run it and it won't necessarily be a mass. It'll just be a celebration. And they said, okay, fine. And then at the 11th hour, they said, the priest that serves the community for the school you're going to, he's going to pop in around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, oh, for the love of God, we don't need a priest jumping in. But he did. His name was Father Terry Gallagher, and Father Terry Gallagher came in and he watched us do our little paraliturgy, and he enjoyed it. And then he said, if it's okay with all of you, I'd like to do a little sermon and do a little mass. And we said, sure. So he did. And he noticed when he was doing his typical Catholic Church call and response type parts of a mass, he saw the look on my face when everyone is like, and peace be with you and the Lord be with you. And everyone's like saying it because it's been programmed in their head since birth. He sees the look on my face. Like, I'm not digging this, man. So afterwards he pulls me aside. He goes, you don't like this, do you? I'm like, I'll be honest. Like, the words don't mean anything to me. I'm just saying them because we're supposed to. He goes, then don't say it. What do you want to say? He's like, instead of saying peace be with you, what do you want to say? I'm like, I don't want to say anything. He's like, then don't say anything. I want you just to be comfortable with yourself. And this guy put his arm around me, Brian, and he talked to me about looking at religion in a completely different way. And it was it blew my mind. And he goes, anyone that looks at the Bible as a piece of foundationally correct truths is lying to themselves. And if they're using it as a barometer to guide their life, they have to question themselves, because the world was a different place 20 years ago in terms of our social beliefs. So of course it was going to be different 2000 years ago in terms of the things that we allowed and didn't allow. I was like, this guy was like speaking to me. Yeah. He was really connecting with me. And
they dated for 3 years.
Yeah, and sadly, Brian,
that's a backhanded compliment.
No, it really is, Brian. It really is, because I've had a complicated relationship with the church for a long, long time. And I mentioned to you off air that I had family that asked me to get ordained and perform services for them, perform weddings for them. And I did, because they asked me to. But my own relationship with the church has been complicated forever.
I think that's the issue. As I think what you just said, you said my relationship with the church. See what I'm saying? Because that's not what this is about. That's what the world wants you to think. That's what religion wants you to think. But it's not that. It's your relationship with the Father. That's it. Period. Mm-hmm. Explanation point. That's all he wants. And so, you know, you said, you know, at the end of the day, me and Christmas, we were texting back and forth this week and always talking to Christmas. And you know, we were talking about how love wins. Love wins. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what that priest did to you. He loved you. And that's like the thing when people come over from Catholicism over to me, they say, listen, you know, your praying is really weird. Like, what is that? And I'm like, I'm just talking to my Father. Like, I don't have to have a rehearsed scripture. And I think that's the thing, is I have, you know, if I'm hurting or I'm struggling, I'm crying out, I'm laying on my face, whatever, you know, and I'm having a conversation. I'm the weird guy in the car driving down the road on the highway when you look over and he's talking to himself. That's because I'm talking to my Father. You know what I'm saying? And that's because he's doing stuff for me. He's moving in my life. He just wants that intimacy and that relationship with me. Now, you talked about pride and gaze. Like, let's get into it, right? Let's jump into it. I'm not scared. Like, here's the thing. I coach plenty of gay people, celebrities that are gay. You know, probably close to 15 years ago. I don't know if you heard of Ty Herndon. Ty Herndon is one of my longest clients. He's one of the biggest country singers in the game. He was out of Nashville. And so I'm coaching him. I'm working with him. Don't know that he's gay. And he calls me up and he's crying. And he says, Brian, I'm getting ready to go on Entertainment Tonight. And I'm going to tell the world that I'm gay. And he said, I wanted to tell you because I know you're going to want to drop me. That's what he said to me. I know you're going to want to drop me, because in his head, just like most people on the planet, it's all about religion. It's all about God as a dictator, not a loving Father. And I started crying and Ty's crying. And I go, Ty, are you crazy? I love you. You're my guy. I love you, dude. I'm here for you. I'm supporting you. I'll be right there with you on Entertainment Tonight supporting you, brother. You're my man. And he just bought, and he's still to this day. I'm leaving for Nashville next week. I'm going to be hanging out with Ty, and he's married now to a dude. And, you know, and they're talking about, and they're talking about adopting kids. He's a, I mean, and so I, who am I, who the heck am I to judge you? Who the heck am I? I am nobody. I'm supposed to love you. I'm supposed to serve you. Listen, Jesus Christ, he probably wouldn't be allowed in 90% of the churches in the world. They'd run him out. They'd run him out. Seriously.
We'd be
That's
homies.
The problem. Right. Jesus, what you talking about flipping tables over? He, like, the church today, they, Jesus would roll up in there and they'd be like, bro, you got to go. That's what they would say to Jesus.
He'd be on the cop show with Ted.
Right.
Ted would be getting arrested together.
because people don't get it. And that's what I would tell you, Chris. That's what I would tell you, Donnie, is that if you shifted your focus and you said, you know what? I know I've been through some craziness. I know I've been through this religious stuff and these cults and all this bull crap, but I'm going to erase that from my memory and I'm going to give it a shot again to learn about a loving father that loves me, that doesn't care about all this other stuff, that just wants an intimate relationship with me. And then I guarantee you, life shifts and changes.
Ted?
It's an interesting approach. No, it really is. And I'm sure that it's not something that a lot of people are all of a sudden like, boop, an overnight, yep, make the switch. You know what I mean? Like, you have to do a whole lot of, like, self-reflection, I would think, at the same time, right? Especially when there's so many things like religion and spirituality have always gone hand in hand. For the most part, you know what I mean? I want to get into it because I know that we're talking forever and we could probably do this for hours and hours and hours. But the reason that you're here is because you deal with a lot of influencers. You deal with a lot of, you know, I'm throwing the air quotes up there because I don't even know what qualifies as celebrity anymore.
Not us.
Right. You know, so, but why? Like, for lack of a better phrase, what the hell makes influencers so special that, you know, you're only focusing on them?
Yeah, well, I'll answer that. It's a good question. That's a great question. I'm glad you brought that up. And it's going to answer the first question that was the second question. Now, so I'm laying in bed 8 years ago, okay, at the top of my game, guys, literally houses, cars, hot wife. Ministry's booming, money.
How hot
are
we talking? How hot?
You can't see the picture behind him, but she's smoking hot.
Have you not paid attention to the conversation? He switched his entire life. He switched his entire life.
Angelic.
Yeah, I might have become a pastor too, bro.
So I'm like literally at the top of the game, traveling the globe, teaching people how to do what God is using me to do. Okay. Cause I'm just a vessel. I've seen it. I didn't know celebrities. I didn't know anybody with a name. Okay. My best friends were horses, cows, pigs, and goats. I was raised on a farm. Those are my best friends. I didn't know
actually,
big name.
Right. I thought you were going to say whores. when you started saying horses, I thought you were going to go horse.
Yeah, we had the same friends.
Hi, you really are like Jesus.
Okay. Hey.
Okay, sorry.
Horses, Mary Magdalene cow. Needs guidance too.
Oh, man. I think she was actually Jesus' closest homie. So, we're going to have follow up segments on this because there's a lot.
Oh, you ain't kidding. We could go for hours. But so I'm laying in bed and I have a dream. And now I know that it's a God dream. Okay. Very vivid. I can see the whole picture. And it was a picture of me walking with high level people, just celebrities, big names. I could see it. It was just this fame. It was this influence. And I'll get to why here in a minute. And so I'm like, this is crazy. This can't be, maybe this is just some other, this got to be the devil. This can't be just some, this can't be a God dream. So I ran from it. I literally ran from it, continued down the path of craziness and went to continue with the Dream Center because everything was great and money was great. And then on Thanksgiving, I got shot at, but we don't have a lot of time, so I won't go into that. I got shot at and I found out that maybe this is God showing me, hey, you can't run fast enough or far enough when I've called you to do something. I still didn't listen after being shot at in the ghetto. Then, because I didn't listen, I had some real issues after a CrossFit workout. Christmas, she was doing like CrossFit games when I was doing this. This was great. I was watching her. And so, you know, me and my wife were doing CrossFit and we were doing heavy deadlifts. And I came home late one night and had some lower back pain and found out that God's plan A is humility. God's plan B is humiliation. That's what I found out the hard way. Because I wasn't listening. I wasn't obeying. And I knew at this time it was God. I knew deep, but I didn't want to run away from the money. I didn't want to run away from what God had already blessed me with. Mm-hmm. And this is really disgusting. I'll just say it and we'll move on. But anyway, I didn't poop my pants, but it's pretty gross like that. So I woke up in the middle of the night. My wife said it was a pulled muscle. It was not. I got rushed to the ER and the doctor walked in and said that you have an abscess the size of a softball inside of your rectum. Mm-hmm. And that the surgery was going to be the most painful thing you've ever gone through. And the recovery was going to put you in bed for 3 months and you would be bedridden. And I was the face of my organization. And now I was being removed from my organization because of it. That's when I found out God's plan B was humiliation. And so I laid in bed cursing God, mad at God, because God, that's okay. You could go and Jeremiah yelled at God for 6 chapters in the Bible. God's okay with us yelling at him. He's okay with us crying at him. He just wants it makes him happy because we are talking to him and we usually don't. And so I for 3 months, I just watched every Netflix show, every Prime video. And at the end of 3 months, I was laying in a field again, basically, but I was in my bed. I had a field moment and I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so the dream he gave me was that he wanted me to be a pastor, what I was doing in the church to high level individuals. The reason that I know now, I didn't know it at the time, was this: the people in the church, I was reaching tens of thousands. But because of what I'm doing now, reaching high level people, their followings are to the masses. I literally coach people that have hundreds of millions of followers. And if I can speak into their life and I can give them the love and grace of Jesus, and their lives can be radically transformed, ultimately what they're going to do is make an impact on their following. And so now I'm literally seeing the masses. I'm seeing transformation, not just happen in the high level people that I'm working with, but now in their following. And I can actually see the picture of what God has done in my life and what he's done for these people. And so I have never, you could check this out, I've never run ads. I literally just started a funnel for my group coaching. But here's the thing. I was always word of mouth. I went to 2 Cincinnati Bengals and 3 Cincinnati Reds when God gave me this dream. And I said, this is the dream he gave me. What do you think? And they said, that's amazing. Because every single person in the churches, what I found, because I was the same way, is I would go into the church and I always wanted to sit with the pastor. I just wanted to because I didn't want to just be in the crowd. Like I wanted him to mentor me and coach me and teach me about this Jesus. And in today's world, pastors, mega church pastors, celebrity pastors are untouchable. And they're more like rock star pastors. They're just untouchable. And I didn't want that. And I said, how can I go in? And these influencers were like, I want to work with somebody one-on-one. I don't go to church. I don't have time to go to church. I don't want to watch it online. I want someone to do life with me and walk with me and coach me and teach me. And I have found that if you want to get healthy, you hire Christmas. You hire a health coach. If you want to get smarter and you want to get your mind right, you go hire a mindset coach. Why are we not? The most important thing is our soul. Why in the world do we not have a soul coach, a spiritual coach, someone that brings it all together? The Bible says body, mind, and spirit, but we are only worried about body and mind, if that. And so spirit, you bring the spirit in. And what I have found with the people that I have worked with, they have all the money in the world and tons of fame, and they can go anywhere in the world. And they come to me, guys, and they still have a void in their life. They have a void in their life. I can almost guarantee that you guys understand what I'm saying. Because if I told you tomorrow that the iPhone 16 Plus is coming out, you couldn't wait to get the iPhone 16 Plus. And you'd run to Apple, you'd buy the iPhone 16, you bring it back to your house, you play with it for 2 hours, and then in 2 hours, the void would come back. And you're wondering, how do I fill the void? Well, the wealthiest of the wealthiest, the most successful people, are just like the people that live under the bridge. And I believe that void is filled with spirit. And I believe when we fill it with the spirit of the living God, it can radically transform your life. And I can tell you from people that were atheists, from all different denominations, all different religions that I work with, have filled it and put got everything back in alignment. And now they are seeing complete transformation. They are happier than they've ever been before because they're filling that one spot. And a lot of us will live our whole lives without that void, with that void in our lives, and never realizing what it was. And I think I'm just here to tell you guys, Jesus is pursuing you, and he just wants you to pursue him back. And it's a love thing. It's not a church thing. And you know what, Chris? You're right. It doesn't happen overnight to some. It doesn't like, hey guys, you're going to accept Jesus tonight. All right, who wants to accept Jesus? Raise your hand. We're going to take an offering. That's not the way it works. What it works is that this is a relationship. So a lot of the people come to me just like you are where you're at, Chris, and they'll say, I don't like God at all. I don't even believe him. And it'll take months of me walking with them until they eventually will have an encounter with God, because now their head's in the right space. And they're like, I just want to learn about this loving father that this homeboy is talking about. And God, if you want to have an encounter with me, bring it, please, because I need to know. And he always shows up.
It's interesting. Can you explain to me one thing, though?
Why I'm so good looking?
Well, I already figured that out. That's that Kentucky water. it makes mighty fine bourbon, too, son. Don't get it twisted. All right.
Hey, now.
There you go. In the Bible, 12 disciples, why do they all have white guys' names?
Are you serious right now?
Brian, this is a win. Ted is talking about it, and that is the first step. Okay,
you know,
have a conversation.
I would go to this. So a lot of people say that Jesus was white, but I would say that all of them were very dark complected, very dark complected.
Well, yeah,
every single one of them. And so I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Watched the Bible too many times.
Right. I think it's like, anyone that thinks that Jesus was as white as me, you're crazy. Okay. I think Jesus was mixed. And I think there was a reason why he did it. And I think we should all take a little taste of what he's teaching here, because I think everyone in the Bible was darker than white. Okay. So we'll go.
Yeah. Geography dictates, bro.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
I know it's stupid, but you just reminded me, I don't know why, but it just popped in my head, another line from that really stupid stoner movie, Dogma, which, by the way, I recommend to everyone to go watch it if you want to have a laugh. There's a line in there where the woman who's identified as the last descendant of Christ, she says, but Christ had no descendants. What are you talking about? And this prophet says, no, you are the last great, 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 whatever, grandniece of Jesus Christ. But Jesus didn't have any siblings. And Chris Rock has the line. He says, look, to believe that Mary had a immaculate conception is faith. To think that Joseph for the rest of his life never got down is ignorance.
Oh, Lord.
And I'm like, God bless this movie.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, Brian, you may need to implement this into your homework.
I know of
what you give people to be like, hey, look, it doesn't have to be perfect, but look what it is.
I think that's my biggest struggle is like, you know, I tell people all the time, like, so even for an example, I love Carl Lentz. Carl Lentz, you know, obviously you guys probably know Hillsong pastor, you know, he falls in New York City. And what's the headline? The New York Times. The headline says, another pastor fallen from grace.
Mm.
That's not biblical. You know what the article should have said? Another pastor fallen into grace.
Mm.
Because that's what happened. That's what Jesus did. We don't fall out of grace. We fall into grace. We're all going to make mistakes. Even all of us that are striving to be better and do good, we're still never going to be perfect. We're still going to sin. We're still going to have issues. But we fall into grace because that's how special grace is. And so I love Carl to death, and he's coming back, and shout out to him. But you know, he fell into grace. He didn't fall out of grace. And you know, another thing, guys, is that it's getting in alignment. You know, I've found with a lot of celebrities is they'll come to me, and the Bible actually teaches that the perfect alignment is God first, family second, everything else third. And so if any of those are out of alignment, you're literally not functioning at 100%. So I go to a chiropractor. I have him on my payroll. He comes to my house, and my chiropractor comes here because I get out of alignment. And so I don't function properly at 100%. Christmas would know this, being an athlete, unless I'm at 100%. Why are we not spiritually in alignment? Do you realize? Seriously. Why would I sit here and tell you that the wealthiest people on the planet are realizing that they have a void in their life and it's spiritual? And when they fill it, their lives are completely changed. I've had people come to me and their alignment is family first, everything else second, God third. They're out of alignment. It doesn't function. It won't flow right. And so it's like this current. We have this current, and I want you to think of a current. Well, what happens in this current is there's these blockages in this current. And so we have this direct, when we accept the Father into our life, when we say, Jesus, I accept, I'll live for you, I'll walk with you, you're my daddy. What happens is now he drops the Holy Spirit on us. We have this full current, this full access to him, but then we in the flesh start having all these things that come out of order and out of whack. And so it jacks up this current. And so literally God wants to bless us and he wants to flow blessings and favor to us, but the current is jacked up. Everything's out of alignment in our lives. And I would go to say anybody, Chris, I guarantee you, if you worked with me for 6 months, you would be in complete alignment with God, family, and everything else third. And I guarantee you, any void that you had in your life would be filled if you would just give the access and say, I'm going to give Jesus an opportunity here. It would change your
Brian,
life.
Brian, I'm tempted to take you up on that because I'll tell you this, and I know we're up against the clock and we got to wrap this, but Tid knows this very well because Tid's known me my entire life, pretty much. The last
I'm
10.
Daddy.
Oh, what'd you say?
I said, I'm his daddy.
Pretty much. It's been almost 10 years now. Christmas Day of this year will mark 10 years since I lost my dad.
Yeah.
On Christmas Day. And if there was ever a better, I know everyone says this about their parents. If there was ever a better human that walked this earth, I never met them. And my dad worked full-time for a living from the age of 10, okay? And he retired at the age of 66, and he had less than 1 year retirement before he got hit with cancer. And then he went from being perfectly healthy, seemingly, to being put into a medically induced coma the next day, being in the hospital for 8 weeks, and we lost him on Christmas Day. And ever since that time, I've not been able to celebrate Christmas. I've not been able to function. I used to go to church on Christmas Eve. I can't. I struggle. And then it felt like losing my dad was the beginning of a whole bunch of other things that happened in my life. And I thought, if there's a God right now, maybe he's punishing me. This is, people talk about karma. People talk about, you know, these sorts of things. And I'm like, you know, someone said to me the other day, literally this week, said, man, the universe is against you right now. And I'm like, yeah, it feels that way. Mm-hmm. And I hear what you're saying, Brian, and I want so badly to attach to this because I need it. I need an emotional and spiritual life preserver right now, because I don't talk about my shit on the air, but there's plenty of it. And Christmas knows some, and Tid knows a whole lot. And I'm at the point where it's like, hey, God, I'm here. If you want to help dig me out of this.
I want to tell you this, and I want to share this with you. And if this could be the last thing that I could say, I hope that this,
let's do that.
I hope this touches all of your hearts, and this will follow up on Donnie, everything that you were saying. Christmas has heard this because she has to hear the stuff that I say, because we talk. is the enemy is necessary. The enemy is necessary. And so I want to take you guys back for a second. Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. He's in the wilderness, and his homeboy, Peter, his right hand, Peter is his best friend. He walks up to Jesus. Jesus is struggling. I can imagine he's probably stressing. I mean, he knows he's getting ready to be tortured, beaten, spat upon, and crucified. And Peter comes up to him, and he says, "Jesus, you got to get out of here. They're coming. The Roman guards, the high priests, they're coming. They're going to kill you." And Jesus looks at him, and he says, "Get behind me, Satan." Now watch this. Judas, everybody knows Judas, that backstabbing Judas. Judas comes up with the Roman guards and the high priest, and he walks up, and they come up to Jesus, and the high priest throw the gold and silver at his feet. And Jesus walks up to Judas, and he kisses him on the cheek, and he calls him friend. Peter, his friend, his actual friend, was trying to take Jesus out of his God-given destiny. Judas, the enemy, was elevating Jesus into his God-given destiny to save the entire world. The enemy is necessary. What we go through in our lives, the craziness that happens in our lives, God uses everything for our good. Everything. It doesn't matter if it's death. It doesn't matter if it's pain. It doesn't matter what it is, losing something. God said, "I will use it for your good." He didn't say, "I'll use some things." He said, "I will use all things for your good." And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, when hell comes in like a flood, God says, "I'm going to use it for your good," because the enemy don't understand how smart I am. The enemy is necessary to elevate you, Donnie, you, Chris, you, Christmas, into your God-given destiny. And so when we look at it that way, and we look at God that way, it shakes and changes everything up in our lives. Everything. I'm about to start
we'll
preaching
it
up.
We'll leave it at that. We'll leave
you
it at that.
You should become a pastor. Natural.
It's a good idea, Tid. You should look into that. Listen, Brian Hall, thank you for taking the time out. I know we've run over time. Let everyone know out there, if they want to find out more about you and what you do, where can they go?
Yeah, just go to Brian Hall on Instagram. Instagram is where I work with so many people, and it'll shift you over to like my group coaching and one-on-one coaching and stuff like that. But just go to Instagram, Brian Hall with an I, B-R-I-A-N Hall, H-A-L-L.
Do you have to say Brian with an I? Isn't that just standard spelling? Do you have to say that?
Yes, every time. I always have to say with an I, because everybody spells it with a flipping Y, and then they never find me.
That Canadian asshole, that Adams guy. I know. Yeah.
I always have to say Christmas like the holiday. You know, Brian with an
How
I.
How else would they spell Christmas? What?
They just don't believe me.
H-A-N. U-A-K-A-H.
You can't spell Hanukkah. Shut up. Just stop. Oh, embarrassing
if I, so we're all good here. He thought it was five. It's Hanukkah, whatever.
They didn't teach you how to spell in that gypsy commune.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, can I? Hey, do you mind if I pray for you guys on the way out?
Please, I need it.
And I'll pray for your viewers. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
All right, Jesus, we love you, Father God. I just hold up right now, Donnie, Chris, Christmas to you, Father God. I hold up that any viewer that may watch this, Father God, that it's not about religion, that it's just about a relationship with you. God, let everyone know that you are madly in love with them. Father God, I pray for my brothers right now, specifically, that God, anything that's coming against them, I cancel the assignment of the devil. I cancel any curse, generational curse, witchcraft, man, woman, or child that's coming against them or speaking against them. I cancel it and bind it in the name of Jesus. I pray that you fill them with the spirit of the living God. I pray for elevation and blessings and breakthrough. I pray that this show goes and moves mountains. I mean, literally goes to levels like Joe Rogan's never seen. I pray, God, that you elevate it to a whole nother level. Father God, that you bless Christmas, that you keep them all safe. I pray over their families and let them know right now that the enemy is necessary. It is necessary to elevate them into their God-given destiny. So let us look at it like that, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this show. I pray, God, that it blesses someone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brian, thank you.
You're going to be bigger than Joe Rogan. Come on with it.
Don't be surprised if I slide in your DMs and try to get some free mentorship, okay?
Hey, you got it, man. Christmas is friend, you're my friend.
All thank right. you, Brian God. Hall, everybody.
Awesome.
Thank you. Christmas. Wow. You look at you, back-to-back bangers on the Godfathers of Podcasting, bringing guests that just bring the heat.
I'm just happy to be part of this. You know, like he said, everybody needs opposition, and you and I talk all the time, you know, the struggles that I've been through recently, and you got to lean into something, and I wasn't it anymore.
But yeah, I meant to talk to you about that regarding your struggles. TMZ called me and there's an article coming out tomorrow. I'm sorry. They paid me really well.
Oh, they didn't pay me.
That's because I lied and made up a bunch of stuff.
You won't be the first one.
I would never do that. I love Christmas.
No, I just want to say thank you guys, because I know that Brian is an unexpected type of guest for your show. I think you guys were just unexpected. I mean, maybe not.
Maybe he's supposed to be there.
Well, unexpected of what you normally would have. And, you know, I love him. He's actually, let me tell you a fun tap. He started sending me messages 6 years ago. 6 years ago, when I started this hellacious journey on things that I'm not allowed to talk about yet. And you know, it just always made me feel good. It was right on time every single time. And I was just like, man, eventually I was like, who are you? Mm. And just somebody believed in me when nobody else did, including myself.
Well, you know what? You underestimate yourself, because there is a large community that fully believes in Christmas Joy Abbott. I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
If there's any people that aren't sure of that, go listen to episode 180 last week, and you can hear Josh Martinez just waxing poetic about his BFF Joy. And I will tell you all out there, Christmas is not what the Big Brother fans will tell you in terms of being this miserable, nasty person. She is one of my favorite humans on this earth. I like her so much more than Tid. So much more.
Again, the bar is necessary. Really low.
It is necessary. Oh man, I just appreciate you, you know, giving me the chance to be on here with you guys. And Tid, I'm so happy to see you. I had a blast all the time, every time.
It's an open door policy for you, Christmas. You know that.
Yeah, you don't even need an invite. You just say I'm coming this week, and that's it.
I love it. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Christmas, I know that you got your little boy running around over there begging for attention. I saw him giving mommy kisses a few minutes ago, which was adorable. So go ahead, tend to your beautiful baby. Tell everyone out there one more time, if they want to find out about Christmas Abbott, where can they go?
TMZ. No, I'm kidding. No, don't do it. They're all, it's not all lies, but it's all not wonderful. ChristmasAbbott.com, at Christmas Abbott, as you see here, and just your everyday Google.
There you go.
The Google machine.
Just don't hit the images, because stuff might show up that, you know. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying anything. We censor that. We censor a lot.
Yeah, clean the internet up. Yeah. Thank you, my friend. You know I love you, and thank you for hanging out.
Absolutely. You guys have a great night. Bye.
There she goes, everyone. Christmas joy.
All right, let's wrap this whole thing up in a tight bow, Donnie.
How tight?
Tight.
Okay.
Tight like a tight.
Tweet like a toyga. Okay, that's Tid. I'm Donnie. We out.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.